Live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live. Becky Akers with me. This is Hour 2 of 2. This is the broadcast for June 2nd in the year of our Lord, 2021. Our goal to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country on your radio. We're talking about the January 6th, what they call a riot. Ladies and gentlemen, it's dishonest as all get out. Becky Akers with me. Becky Akers, a freelance writer, published everywhere and on Liberty Roundtable Live monthly. Becky Akers is also an author. She's written two incredible books, Hailstorm, about Nathan Hale, Abducting Arnold, the other side of the Benedict Arnold story. Buy the novels before they're banned today. Search the internet for Becky Akers and Hailstorm, or Becky Akers and Abducting Arnold. BeckyAkers.wordpress.com, her website. So we talked about the fact that the members of the Oath Keepers could soon be getting plea offers, from federal prosecutors. Now, why would the government do that if they knew they had rock-solid evidence? Because they don't. Over a dozen other defendants' lawyers already said, look, they're offering us plea deals, but they're way too abusive, far-reaching. We're not doing it. They believe the terms were excessive. The 12-plus say not guilty. Only John Ryan Schaefer pled guilty. Foolish as all get out. Charges dropped against Christopher Kelly already. And the government started out claiming that thousands were involved. Now they're down to hundreds at best. And here's the next headline. Case falls apart. Capitol Hill investigators ask for a 60-day delay to build a case against the January 6th protesters. That's after the FBI. Media conspiracies implode. So the FBI said there was a bunch of conspiracy. They don't have any evidence of that at all. And it's getting worse, ladies and gentlemen. The liberal fake news media oversold the January 6th protester riot in the U.S. Capitol, claiming it was a terrorist attack. They oversold that. They said it was an insurgency, a pre-planned plot to take over the U.S. Capitol. It turned out it was all a lie. And now the government literally has no case. Now, will they scramble and pull a rabbit out of a hat and get a few people to panic and fear and turn against everybody else to dishonestly build a narrative against the people? Yes, no doubt they'll do that. So expect some pay dirt to supposedly come forth. But it will be built on manipulation and dishonesty. And let me go back to the Ammon Bundy case and scenario to give you an example. You know, Ammon Bundy and his family were peacefully on their ranch. This is back in 2014. And what happened was the government said, you got to pay your grazing fees on your cows to the federal government. And Cliven Bundy at the time said, I will not. It's dishonest. You guys don't have authority. I won't do it. I will pay the tax to my state, though. Well, the government rioted and went out of control about that and went ballistic, and they fought for literally decades. Eventually, the government came to the Bundy ranch, armed to the teeth, pointing assault-style weapons. I don't believe in that term, but there you have it. When it comes to the government, it becomes an assault weapon if it's in the hands of government, by the way. Anyway, and so they started pointing guns at people. So then the Bundy said, wait a minute, this is out of control, and called up good, honest Americans to say, please, come help us. So Americans rushed to the defense of Ammon Bundy, and eventually the government backed down, and peace was restored, in my opinion, by the people. Some would say militias, some would say, you know, right-wing extremists, some would say this, some would say that. I don't want to go with all those narratives. All I'm telling you is the people came to the defense of Bundy, and the government backed down, and thank heavens everything was peaceful. But as you know, since the Bundys won that skirmish, if you will, trying to stand up for their rights against tyrannical thugs, the government will never forget. So the government waited, and didn't really have the ability to prosecute because there was nothing there. Well, anyway, then Ammon Bundy went to the Malheur Wildlife Refuge and occupied that, well, they would say government, federal government building and land. Ammon Bundy would rightly say it's not the government's land, that's the problem here. And I would agree with Ammon on that point. I don't agree with the takeover. I don't think that was the answer or the occupying of that building. But nevertheless, I understand the point, and I agree with Ammon on most things. Tactics, sometimes we might disagree. But Ammon's right on these points. Nevertheless, then what happened was they eventually got taken. The government murdered Lavoie Finicum. And compare this to the January 6th riots. Nobody was armed at the riots, supposedly. Nobody was armed at the supposed insurrection. It was a peaceful attempt to say, look, there's election fraud and we need Congress to look at it. But the false flag peddlers turned this into the porn of the anti-government folks to try to make us all believe that the anti-government folks were the problem. And anyway, they a fiasco. But I digress. The reason I'm comparing this is the government shot Lavoie Finicum at the Ammon Bundy thing to try to set a case precedent that, you know what, you stand up against your government, we will kill you. And that was the message. Same thing happened at the Capitol riots. They shot that veteran woman. I don't have her name in front of me right now, but she was murdered. The only person that really got killed by a shot fired again was government. It almost rewinds you to the Randy Weaver situation, where his wife, Vicky Weaver, with a baby in her arms, got murdered by Lon Horiuchi, the government sharp shooter sniper. He literally murdered her in cold blood with a baby in her arms while she was unarmed. Well, anyway, the reason this all matters and the reason that I tell this whole long story in front of this is eventually the government threatened. And so some people copped a plea deal with the government. And those are the only people that went to jail and are under gag orders. The ones that did not agree, they said, I'm innocent and you're going to prove me guilty or I'm not going to be guilty. They're the ones that are all free in the Ammon Bundy case. Okay, in Oregon, the grand jury said not guilty once they saw the facts because the government got caught lying over and over, and the jury just said, look, this is crazy. Ammon goes free. Then Marcus Mumford, the attorney for Ammon Bundy, tried to say, let my client go, and they tased the attorney, Marcus Mumford, in the middle of court. I kid you not. They literally tased the attorney who just won the case in the middle of court. All right, well, then they took Ammon Bundy and brought him to Nevada for a second trial. And they said, we're going to try you now for the 2014 stuff, etc. Well, in the middle of that case, the government lied. The government said we were not armed. We didn't point arms at innocent people. Well, the whistleblower decided to stand up. And the truth started to come out that the government had agent provocateurs, not only at Nevada, but in Oregon as well. And the government did point sniper rifles at innocent people. And the whistleblower and court testimony proved that to be the fact that the FBI lied and got caught lying and withholding exculpatory evidence before the courts. So the judge eventually dismissed that case, again, without prejudice. So to say, well, we could come back to you another day and harass you and double jeopardy you and everything else. Nevertheless, the government dismissed the case, and everybody said the judge was a hero, except for Sam Bushman and a few others. The judge isn't a hero. The reason the judge dismissed this is because the judge didn't want all the government provocateur false flag plants that were inside with Ammon Bundy. They didn't want their names to be exposed. All the false flag provocateurs that ratcheted this up to the level and reported to the government and everything else. They didn't want their names to be exposed. The government didn't want the information to come out to the American people that the government was pointing guns at innocent Americans. And so they dismissed it not because they cared about Ammon, but because they knew full well what would happen. Hey, they've lost this one. And if they continue, so much will get out on the court docket. So much will become public to where the government will never live down their criminal activity. That's why they dismissed the Bundy case. So I'm grateful it's dismissed because good, honest, and wise men go free. But I also believe that's why the charges are dropped against Christopher Kelly, because they don't want more information to come out. We're starting to get the pay dirt on how evil and satanic and abusive the government is. That's why they want to push for these plea deals before they ever go to trial, so less information comes out. They want to bottle up the criminal activity, the FBI, the Justice Department, the Capitol Police, and on and on and on and on. Now the case falls apart again. Capitol Hill investigations are asking for 60 more days to try to build their case. The liberal fake news media in bed with government lied and oversold the protest to the point where now they're scrambling and they don't know what to do. Becky, everything I can read and can determine about this tells me the government bit off more than they could chew. They didn't expect the people to rise up and for so many videos to prove innocence. and for so many people to stand up and say, no, that's not how it happened when I was there. No, that's not what I did. No, that's not what I said. No, no, no. And so really the question that we need to discuss today, and we'll spend the rest of the hour discussing it, is, you know what, how far do we go to defend liberty? And how much can we bring out the truth as opposed to the false narrative as the government tries to hold on to their tyrannical power? I mean, that's really the discussion. But the government is getting caught, and their case is crumbling before our very eyes. Becky?
I hope you're right, Sam. I will say, from my study of the American Revolution and to the events that led up to it, what we are currently tolerating in this country is well, miles, far beyond anything the colonists would have tolerated. They would have been stacking the corpses by now, actually, because they would have rebelled long, long, long ago. My opinion, Sam, is that liberty is the paramount value. It is more important than life itself. And to answer your question, I think we should be prepared to do anything up to and including losing our lives for the sake of living in freedom.
Ladies and gentlemen, the sad part about this is tyranny has no friends. All it has is immorality, dishonesty, and murder in its wake. And those who don't stop it bear the brunt of the worst of it. Becky in seconds.
Rapid City, South Dakota. Gateway to the historic monument at Mount Rushmore. Blue skies, open country, a friendly and healthy population, and Red Pill Expo 2021, June 5th and 6th at the Monument Convention Center in Rapid City, South Dakota. Can't make it to Rapid City? Not a problem. The expo will be live streamed and archived should you miss any of it. Red Pill Expo is the major public event of Red Pill University. The mission of the expo and the university is to bring together world-class experts to set the record straight on fake narratives, fake history, and fake news. At each and every Red Pill Expo, truth seekers unite to get a better understanding of how the world really works, a world where collectivism reigns. It's time for individualism and an open mind. Mark your calendars and make your plans now to attend Red Pill Expo 2021. Get more details and register today at redpillexpo.org.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches. In wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, back with you live, Sam Bushman, Becky Akers. So in the Ammon Bundy case, and in cases prior to this, Becky, we see that those who cop a plea deal always get the shaft. Those who stand strong and say, I'm not going to plead guilty to something that I'm not guilty of. I'm not going to cave to the false narrative due to your abusive threats that I'll go to jail forever or whatever else. Those are the only people doing fine now. We should learn our lesson and learn it well, Becky.
Yes, we should. I have not followed this particular Oath Keepers case per se. I do know that the Oath Keepers were infiltrated. The deep state infiltrates every organization that defies it. So I do know that the Oath Keepers per se were infiltrated. There were also a lot of BLM and Antifa partisans at the January 6th doings. So, Sam, what I'm getting at is that this gentleman who pled guilty may be an operative from the deep state, and he may be sent to prison, or, you know, given the appearance of going to prison, as an incentive to other oath keepers to also plead guilty. Okay, so I wonder if that could be going on here, because now, again, I'm just speculating. I haven't followed his case individually. I don't know what the evidence against him is like. If it's like all the others, it's fabricated. But again, that's fine. I don't know if he was, if he's being set up or setting himself up as an inspiration to other oath keepers and a model to them. Hey, look what happens. You can plead guilty. Is he getting scot-free then, Sam, for this guilty plea?
I don't know what really is going to happen. I don't know what the narrative is exactly on this. I just hear conflicting stories everywhere is the point, Becky.
Yes. So, you know, this, we're dealing with extremely wily and very subversive operatives. And they do this for a living. They come up with these kinds of things every day. We're just amateurs. We don't, thank God, spend our days in skullduggery and machinations trying to fool and, gull innocent people. They do. We're way outclassed. So I put nothing past them. We need to realize how utterly evil they are. We need to realize that things are seldom what they seem when we start dealing with Marxists, especially Marxists in the deep state.
Now, listen carefully to this statistic, Becky, to make your point. It's very different from what it seems. So the government says through CBS News that they have arrested 440 people in this Capitol riot scenario. Then CBS says we have investigated 438 of these cases that have been unsealed. Then they say, listen carefully, of the 438 cases, at least 178 defendants were also indicted by grand juries. So now we're down to 178 suspects have been charged. But that doesn't mean 178 will even be guilty at the end of the day. Then they say this, more than 125 defendants have been charged with assaulting, resisting, or impeding officers or employees. And then they go, and at least 35 of those were charged with using a deadly or a dangerous weapon, the Department of Justice said. So now we've literally taken hundreds down to 438, down to 178, down to 125, down to 35 using a deadly or dangerous weapon. Then they say about 140 officers were assaulted during the attack, according to a Justice Department spokesperson. So when you dig into this, I mean, I don't know where we're going to go with this, but now we're down to 35 that may have used some kind of weapons. And let me tell you why it's so important that I brought up this idea that the government doesn't want their provocateurs to be named and drawn out publicly. Because what you're likely to find is out of those 35, you might have had one or two goofballs do something stupid. Just get caught up in the moment and the mob mentality and do something wacko. But I bet you that most of the 35, when it comes down to it, are on the government provocateur payroll somehow, somewhere, some way. Either via the Democratic Party, either via George Soros, either via the FBI or Justice Department. Or, in other words, when you dig in, you'll find out, and this was the case in the Ammon Bundy situation, most of the people that did anything literally wrong or breaking the law, almost all of them were government provocateurs. And the only people that went to jail were the ones that pled guilty, the ones that stood there, had the fortitude to say, no, I'm not copying some kind of bogus plea. They're the ones that are free. And the only other group in the mix are the government provocateurs who walk away untouched. Very fascinating pattern we're starting to see, Becky.
Oh, absolutely. And this pertains to many, many other stories as well, such as school shootings, okay? Such as the terrorists that were apprehended. Have you noticed that we haven't caught any terrorists ever since the pandemic started? And they were trying to shift attention away from the existential threat of Al-Qaeda coming and stealing our few remaining freedoms because they're just so jealous of us. But at any rate, terrorists have kind of dropped off the radar so that we could all focus on the pandemic. However, when they were a going thing, I would research various terrorism cases and write articles about them with links to sources proving that these guys were either employed directly by the deep state, or more likely, they were patsies who were groomed and set up. It's very interesting to me, Sam. Most of those terrorists were not too strong mentally. Most of them had emotional and mental problems, or they had very low IQs. They would be groomed for months by somebody in the deep state, the FBI, the CIA, groom them for months, tell them how Muslims are being killed overseas by the U.S. government, and don't you want to go and blow up federal buildings in retaliation? Even supply them with the weapons to do it. And then crow to the media about the big arrest of a terrorist that they themselves had created. That's what I'm my point here in going through all this long history is that we're dealing with the exact same operatives. We're dealing with the exact same MO. We are dealing with the exact same sort of deception, of hypocrisy, of outlandish lies. Okay. So all is never as it seems when you're dealing with the deep state, and particularly Marxists in the deep state.
I don't even know how to respond to this, because this really gets to the crux of what's happening. What you've got is the deep state, the communists, the terrorists in government, literally, you know, I don't know what you call this, displacement or whatever else, where they're blaming us to be terrorists. 99.9% of us are peaceful. We want peace. A few government-hired false flag provocateurs literally jump in the mix, and oftentimes we're not smart enough to catch them at it, and so they walk free. While the carnage points the finger at domestic terrorism, at peaceful people like me and you. Now Joe Biden wanting to monitor every one of us, saying, we got to stop the domestic threat, the greatest threat America's ever known. I say government false flags are the greatest threat. Becky, who do you believe in? Good question, right?
The greatest threat to human safety is always political government. You know, you and I, Sam, let's say we were murderers. Let's say we wanted to go out and kill people. How many people can we kill in a day before we would be apprehended? How many could we kill in the few hours before cops would swarm, or before people would rise against us and stop us themselves? But contrast that, contrast the worst serial killer anywhere, or contrast the worst, what do they call them when they, like the school shootings, I can't remember, there's a jargony term they use, something massacre, anyways, contrast the worst one of those with your average war. How many people do governments kill in their wars? Just take a single day from World War I, World War II, the War of Northern Aggression, the American Revolution. Take a single day from there, and I bet you it will stack up many, many, many times over what the worst serial killer or school massacre has ever yielded.
Where we go from here is hard to say, because the real question I had asked Becky at the start of the two-hour broadcast is, how far can we go without getting the blame? How do we defend liberty without the liberal fake media overselling these things, lying about who the terrorists are, creating false flag provocateurs to manipulate the narrative, etc., etc.? And I'll tell you when I first got a glimpse of this, ladies and gentlemen, back in the day, when we come back and we'll talk about it with Becky Akers on your radio.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
world's biggest meat producer is coming back online Wednesday after a weekend cyber attack. JBS expects to have nearly all of its processing plants running again across the country in Australia and Canada. The company saying it's not sparing any resources to fight the threat. Cybersecurity expert Dave Kennedy says U.S. companies should be on high alert.
What's happening is you have companies that aren't taking cybersecurity necessarily seriously that control critical infrastructure. And then you have, you know, the sophistication level continuously raising by these organized crime groups that continue to grow.
Israel is planning to ask the Pentagon for $1 billion this week to upgrade its missile defense system. That word came from Republican Senator Lindsey Graham, who's visiting the Middle Eastern country. He's also inspecting damage from 11 days of rocket attacks from the terrorist group Hamas. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Hello, this is Wayne Allyn for our newest sponsor, Asset Strategies, or ASI for short. ASI is a precious metals powerhouse. They sell gold and silver. Never in history has there been a more important moment to buy gold and silver. ASI has been in business for 39 years. They've served over 20,000 clients and sold $5 billion worth of gold, silver, and precious metals with zero complaints. Last year, gold saw gains of 25%. Silver nearly doubled gold's performance. Now Democrats are in charge. Green New Deal, open borders, free healthcare for illegals. Bail out broke cities and states. The debt is about to go through the stratosphere. The time to buy is now. The owners of ASI, Michael and Rich Chekin, have been my close personal friends for 16 years. ASI is the company I trust when it comes to buying and selling precious metals. Call now to receive a free consultation and a free 1 ounce silver eagle with every qualifying purchase when you mention the Wayne Allyn Show. Call 800-831-0007. That's 800-831-0007. Or visit assetstrategies.com.
Democrats hold a seat in a special election.
In a special election Tuesday, Democrat Melanie Stansbury won the New Mexico congressional seat left vacant when Deb Haaland became the Secretary of the Interior. Stansbury, a New Mexico state representative, defeated Republican State Senator Mark Moores, with multiple news organizations calling the race for Stansbury. New Mexico's first congressional district, which includes most of Albuquerque, has been represented by a Democrat since 2009. The race extends the Democrats' slim majority in the House, 220 to 211, with four seats still vacant. From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
Donald Trump Jr. is accusing New York Attorney General Lolita James of leading a political persecution against her father, former President Donald Trump, with her office's investigation of the Trump Organization. James' office announced in May they were investigating the Trump Organization, although no mention of any specific crimes that were being investigated. USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Becky Akers on your radio talking about government false flags. The U.S. government has a history of protest infiltration and false flag operations, ladies and gentlemen. It is out of control. And when I first learned about this, I've been a broadcaster for over 25 years. And we're celebrating this year our 25th year anniversary of Liberty Roundtable Live. I've been at this game for a long time, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm telling you right now, government provocateurs are at the center of almost any event that goes violent or destroys property or etc. Okay, every time, without exception, if you dig enough, you find that to be the case. Now, don't get me wrong. There might be an example where it's not true. But this is a pattern of the communists. And really, Martin Luther King Jr. was kind of where this first happened. He'd walk in peacefully. I have a dream that everybody gets along. And then later, he'd be gone and the riots would start over and over and over to where the, even the FBI had, you know, files on his ties to communism, and etc. Well, this continues on. And we find that false flag operations, where I first got wind of false flags is when we, I can't remember the story, but we were investigating something, and it turns out that all the different people that we watched on video had certain boots on. And then it turns out that every one of those would start something violent, and then they'd disappear. But the melee that had begun continued, and then everybody else would get the blame with the provocateur gone. And the way we caught them at it was they were all wearing the same kind of boots. Anyway, you see this over and over and over, okay? And you see it in the Ammon Bundy scenario. The government lied and had armed snipers pointing guns at innocent people at the Ammon Bundy Ranch or the Cliven Bundy Ranch. Okay, and they lied and got caught lying. The government withholds evidence. The government lies, lies, lies. Right? The U.S. government has a history of this. But this is a playbook right out of the communist agenda. They've been doing this for decades, and they've honed the pattern down to a fine science. We're just starting to catch them at it and define our tactics to catch them to a science. And when we do, hopefully we can call a halt to the con game. But this is a pattern that they've worked at and refined for literally decades, Becky.
Yes, yes. And our government isn't the only one. You know, a lot of international incidents, the same thing. A foreign government is either on its own or under duress from the U.S. government, hatching something that will make us, and by us I mean our serfs, us taxpayers, will make us all in favor of the latest war that Washington is putting on, or the latest uprising in another country, and we want Washington to go in and nip it in the bud. The whole thing with Saddam Hussein and he's supposedly massacring little children and gassing them to death. And Americans are all outraged by that, and they want their government to go in and play the world's policeman. I haven't investigated that. I'm just speculating that this too may have been a ploy from agents provocateurs on your tax dollar.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you that once we catch on to this and expose enough of this, one of the tricks of the trade for these people, too, is they'll change the subject. And so if we get to the bottom of this Capitol Hill riot, you know, January 6th scenario, and we start literally proving the provocateur agenda and getting paydirt on these people, what they'll do is they'll change the subject. Okay, so for example, they'll do things like this. The U.S. Postal Service wants to raise rates on first-class stamps from 55 cents to 58 cents. Don't you know we got to do that to protect the mail service? You know, they're having trouble with money, but don't worry. In the booming economy, you're okay to pay 58 cents, aren't you? And they'll go on like that. Or if it gets really crazy, they'll double down on this. Biden declares Pride Month, vowing push for LGBTQ rights. Right. And they'll go on and on and on with this. If it gets really bad, then they'll just start pushing climate change, or they'll just start pushing, environmental this or that, or they'll start pushing, or they'll create a sex scandal about somebody else. And they'll divert the attention away from the truth. That's the pattern we've seen as well, Becky.
Yes. Yeah, they're very good at that. A lot of this attack on the nuclear family, the promotion of sodomy and the promotion of the nonsense of transgenderism serves a dual purpose. It not only attacks the family, which Marxists need to destroy, just as they need to destroy any spirituality, they need to destroy the nuclear family so that the state becomes our family, just as it becomes our God. So they not only win on that front, they then use these culture wars to distract us as they, implement their agendas. You know, I just saw an article this morning on a conservative website lamenting the vaccine mandates in schools. And the whole thrust of the article was to tell parents how to resist a vaccine mandate. And I wanted to say, you know something, vaccine mandates at public schools are really kind of the least of our problems right now. The public schools are indoctrinating children into Marxism. It's not the vaccine mandates we should be enraged about. It's the entire concept of public schools. Okay, they are founded on
And let's be careful to use the word, too. They're communist schools. They're not public schools. Public school would be if I want to pay for my kid to go to a private school that was open to the public, okay, and I paid myself. But when you rape the American taxpayer's wallet by the force of a government gun, it's the 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto. It's compulsory government education. It's a government communist school. It's not a public school.
Exactly right, Sam. And why are we not protesting? You know, this is where conservatives really need to get their heads examined. They like to protest piecemeal the many, many things that are wrong with the communist schools.
Well, they don't say the Pledge of Allegiance, which is another communist ploy. The Pledge of Allegiance is communistic. They've kicked God out of schools. We can't read our Bibles there. And now they're having vaccine mandates. When does it get through to these folks that we need to rebel against public communist schools as a whole? It isn't just the little piecemeal picky things that we, you know, our favorite hobby horse. No, the concept of the government indoctrinating children at our expense, that's what we need to attack. The whole idea that government has the right to tell parents how their children will grow up, that their children will go to school, any school. I don't care if it's the communist or a private school. Government should have no power, and it certainly has no authority to tell you you have to put your kid in an educational gulag for 13 years or we're going to come after you.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. What they'll do, though, is they'll change the subject. What they're doing right now is working on creating shortages to cover the inflation lie. So that's what they'll do, is they'll move to the economy if we expose too much on certain fronts. They first said, hey, the gas pipeline got attacked by terrorists or by ransomware folks, and by golly, that's why your gas costs so much. Now they're saying meat processor is victim of a ransomware attack. All of JBS's beef plants or whatever are shut down. They say the hackers got them. Golly, horrible news. But really, it's just a way to cover up price hikes and pretend there's not inflation. So they manipulate this till the cows come. I shouldn't use cows in a beef shortage. Anyway, you look at this and you go, they're doing more and more of this, raising rates on stamps. Now the meat processor is a victim of ransomware. That's got to, now gas has got to go up. So now stamps and gas and meat. Of course, you had a toilet paper shortage there a little while ago, and shortages are going to become the new norm, intentional by government. I don't know what you want to call it, edict, manipulation, mandate, all the above, false flag. I don't know, but they're literally starting to raise prices everywhere, Becky.
You know, it's a tactic as old as Joseph and the children of Israel. Remember how the Pharaoh said, don't give them any more straw. Let them hunt their own straw to make bricks. If they've got enough time to stand around and complain about conditions and complain about their slavery, we'll just let them work harder. That's precisely what our government is doing now. You have time to think about how enslaved you are, to think about how out of control and over the top this government is. Well, you know what? We'll give you something else to worry about, shortages, and they'll keep you occupied and keep you from getting out in the streets and protesting.
It's hard how to know how to respond to these things, because how do you keep the American people up on so many fronts of dishonesty? I mean, it's hard for the American people to even believe that this kind of false flag and dishonesty and manipulation and force and is involved in so many aspects of our lives. But they're literally, Zelensky said and others, they're literally overwhelming us with so much information. The American people can't even hardly get a handle on a scandal before they've created the problems with it and moved on to another one. Becky will respond to that in seconds. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government, and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine. the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Proof. All right, ladies and gentlemen, so the more we prove scandal at every turn, the more they change the subject and manipulate the narrative even further. There's so many fronts, Becky, of the dishonesty that it's hard for the American people to even fathom, much less keep up.
You know, Sam, after this last year, I would hope people have learned. What about the shamdemic wasn't plastered with lies? And it was the government itself. Now, yes, the media took the ball and ran with it, but who was on the air night after night? Who's quoted in article after article in the press? But government spokespeople, government health Nazis, government politicians, other bureaucrats, okay? Your local bureaucrat at the public health department on air night after night, lying through his or her teeth, lying to you, telling you about the Chinese virus that isn't, okay? Telling you you're going to die. I mean, Sam, is after this last year, anyone still thinks that government has a truthful bone in its body? I would say there's just not too much else that's going to convince you that you are as close to reality.
To prove the point, Becky, the government literally went as far as to force business, private sector, to make ventilators. Where are all the ventilators and how many of them got used? We don't hear a word about it in the news anymore.
No, you don't. And all of it, I read a couple articles this week about the insurance industry and how when had there been an actual pandemic, life insurance rates would have skyrocketed. There's been no increase whatsoever. What does that tell us? Okay, life insurance companies are in the business to make money, all right? They're not there because they enjoy whiling away their desks trying to sell people stuff. They are there to make money. And if they thought that they were going to lose money because there's a genuine pandemic, he would have seen rates go up across the board. Hasn't been any increase whatsoever. So that's all by way of saying that it's demonstrably clear on many, many fronts for many, many reasons that there was no pandemic, that this was all a lie, and it was brought to us by government. So if Americans aren't ready to understand and agree that their government routinely lies to them, that a politician's lips moving is a signal that it's a lie, okay? If after this last year anyone can honestly say they don't agree with that, then, Sam, I mean, there's just not much you can do for people that brainwashed.
Ladies and gentlemen, the media, the propaganda via the media backed by government in the past has engendered trust and stability. And, you know, we report, you decide, slogans like that. The who, what, when, where, why of a story used to be the order of the day. Now the media has literally jettisoned all even attempts to remain neutral or to tell the truth or to stick with just the facts. Now the media is so egregious, so abusive, so in your face, so dishonest that I think most Americans are starting to get that. Now what people don't know is what can I do about it? I almost want to do my own survey because you can't trust the survey folks, but I would have one question in the survey. Do you trust your government? And then I would have a not at all. Or maybe I would call it hell no. Or, you know, a little bit or somewhat, not enough, you know. Oh, absolutely. I trust them. Or maybe you would say, how much do you trust your government? You know, on a 1 to 10 scale, what's your trust? I don't know how the poll should be conducted, but I almost want to do a poll because I'm convinced that most people, even Democrats now, don't trust their government, from vote fraud to climate change to the co-vax lies to false flags everywhere to the Capitol riots to, well, and now you get Bill Gates. Turns out that Bill and Melinda Gates met with Jeffrey Epstein in 2013, which infuriated Melinda and caused multiple issues in their marital relationship. That's according to a report for the Daily Beast now. But there's no accountability. The Me Too movement's not speaking out. Okay? These folks are just criminals. Okay? And they know it. And they say Bill and Melinda announced a divorce. At first, no one knew why. Now it turns out that Bill and Melinda went to Epstein's Upper East Side mansion in New York City. And Melinda said she was uncomfortable, didn't want to be there. But Bill Gates lied and said he never had a relationship with Epstein. But now we're finding out he lied, and he certainly did. So much so that it caused his divorce. Ladies and gentlemen, what do you think of this? How do you respond to this, right? But this is an example where they make you believe this is an all-important piece. But if it's so important, where's the Me Too movement? If this is so egregious, which I agree that it is, don't get me wrong, well, how come people aren't now looking into indicting Bill Clinton and Bill Gates? Okay, where is the pay dirt? They've had this whatever female behind bars for a while now. Where's the evidence? Where's the trial? Where's the transparency? Where's the accountability? It doesn't exist, Becky.
No, and especially if the Bidens are involved, all and sundry will be protected just so that they don't go down.
Now, Joe Biden, involved with Hunter. Hunter had a baby with a prostitute, lied about it, DNA caught him. Now, Joe said, hey, I wasn't involved with Hunter's business partners and deals. But now he got caught lying. Turns out that Biden did meet with Hunter's business people while he was vice president. So now you've got the president of the United States that got caught blatantly lying. Joe Biden did meet Hunter's shady business partners while he was vice president at a dinner in Washington, D.C., Becky. That's according to bombshell emails on Hunter's laptop alone.
These people are just so incredibly dishonest. You know, and again, Sam, it goes back to what I was saying before about serial killers and on their worst day can't come close to what war on its least lethal day does. Same thing here. These criminals can't... A private freelance criminal can't even begin to compete with a government criminal. You can take the worst private criminal on his worst day, and he doesn't come close to what the official criminals in office can do on their least offensive day.
So what do you do with a president that literally lied and said, I didn't meet with Hunter's business partners? Turns out not only did he meet, he did so as vice president of the United States. This is literally, in my opinion, an act of insurrection, an act of needful impeachment, or, an election do-over, whatever you want to call it. He literally blatantly lied and got caught now lying. It would be an easy matter to say, well, we need a second corroborating evidence about Hunter's laptop. Let's subpoena the records. Where did Joe go? The Secret Service knows what happened. Okay, we could get pay dirt on this. And what you'd find is the vice president of the United States, Joe Biden, literally is engaging in treason, an insurrection act. But we're going to say everybody else created an insurrection on January the 6th, trying to stop vote fraud and trying to defend liberty. Well, they don't have pay dirt really on any of us, so they're begging for more time while Joe runs around free, while Bill Clinton rapist runs around free, while Bill Gates at the helm of this vaccine virus scandal, pervert extraordinaire, involved with Jeffrey Epstein, his wife divorces him over it, and now he runs free, and the Me Too movement's absent. Connect the dots, people. This is absolutely insane, Becky.
Yes, absolutely. It is sickening, too. But I'll tell you what, a lot of those folks who understand that Biden usurped the office and have always considered him to be a mere placeholder until the Marxists put in their actual politician, their actual agent provocateur, for a better term, want of a better term, we may see Biden go down big time when the real person comes along that the Marxists want to install as president. Now, whether that's Giggles Harris or whether it's somebody else, and if it isn't she, then you will see the same type of dirt on her, because I can assure you, you do not get to be this high in American politics without having a dictionary-length criminal file and tons of things on which you can be blackmailed. So if she's not the person the Marxists have handpicked for presidency, you'll see her go down in the same way. Some dirt from her past will be brought out. It'll be ballyhooed in all the newspapers until people are frothing at the mouth to get her out of there, and then the Marxists will install their real puppet. So we may see Biden pay the price, but you have to understand it'll be a manufactured trial and a manufactured sentence.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you right now, we need to turn to God Almighty, who promises us that he will heal our land, and he promises us that he will protect us. And the most protection we need is from government that has gone flat out rogue. Bureaucrats and professional do-gooders in the deep state have literally decided to take off the gloves and lord over us in a tyrannical coup. And we better speak up, and we better politely work towards peace and stop it. And if they won't let us have peace, we still must defend our sacred cause. The founders did it. Historically, those who don't do it become slaves. Those who do it, sometimes it isn't pleasant, but they remain free. It is time to turn to God. And it is time to then get up off our knees after we repent and turn to Almighty God and do our part, ladies and gentlemen. This is a very clear clarion call for peace, but for stability in our nation. And it comes when good men stand up and create accountability for wicked acts. Final words yours, Becky.
Liberty is worth all sacrifice. It's what makes life worth living. Without it, we don't have a life. So when push comes to shove, all of us should stand ready to give our lives to be free.
Ladies and gentlemen, I know it sounds like harsh medicine. I also know that the results of doing nothing are much harsher. Before the American Revolution, for generations, people lived in abject poverty and slavery. The times where men have been free in the history of the world are fleeting and far and few between. Our founders worked so hard to give us this legacy. They were not perfect. They were just men and women doing this they could, but they did turn to the perfect one, God Almighty. And they did understand that peace and prosperity and stability comes from not looking to government, but looking to God. We would do well to do the same. Check out Becky Akers' books, ladies and gentlemen, Abducting Arnold, The Other Side of the Benedict Arnold Story You Probably Haven't Been Told. Hailstorm, a book about Nathan Hale, one of the greatest patriots to truly put everything on the line for the sacred cause of liberty, would do well to follow his leadership as well. Becky, thank you. Godspeed.
Thank you, Sam. It's always a pleasure and a privilege.
For Becky Akers and Sam Bushman, we declare, God save our liberty. And I would say, and God save the Republic of the United States of America.